morning. Welcome to all who have come to observe and to participate in this fifth Sunday of Lent. Lent we are in the midst of, and we are in a process of thinking about chaos, and there's a lot more chaos on that wall today than there was on Thursday, because it used to be all together, but now it's coming apart, and we're just going to leave it like that. But it is a joy to be with you today and to welcome all who have come to worship. I know that there are some activities going on for which people want to share and to include you, so please let us be open right now and express these events that are going on this week or things to which you need to be alerted. Do you have anything, Graham?
I know Sandy's going to talk more about the first Sunday lunch, but right after first Sunday lunch, we are having Kids Club in the basement of the education building. We also have youth group this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We're going to meet up in the youth room for our egg stream hunt. Get it, Leah? Egg? Yeah, she loves egg.
We made it less.
And also, again, more information is coming out about this, but our children's Easter celebration will be right after church on Easter Sunday. We'll go downstairs. We will have a photo booth with a green screen set up for family pictures of you and your nice Easter Sunday clothes. We'll have egg dyeing. We'll have an egg hunt, and then we'll have a short devotion as well as face painting and a lot of other stuff. So we'd love to have all our families come join us. And anyone who would like to take that picture, we'll be taking those pictures and emailing out to you guys with the green screen background. So we'd love to have everyone at our children's Easter celebration. That's right after church on Easter Sunday. Thank you.
2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. Did Sandy want to say more about first? Yes, first Sunday.
How's everybody doing? Good. Fantastic. So, yes, today is the first Sunday lunch, and if you do not have plans for lunch, don't leave this parking lot. You need to go next door. Meatloaf, homemade mashed potatoes, green beans, rolls, dessert, all kind of yumminess. So make sure you guys come and check that out today. A couple other events I want to talk about. Salt Shakers. If you guys have not heard, Richard White is and Debbie are heading up Salt Shakers. If you were here in the past when they had it, it's a great opportunity to get to know the congregation. You have this Sunday and next Sunday to sign up. If you don't sign up, then it's your loss. Sorry. So make sure you sign up. And then there will be a kickoff the 1st of May for that. Okay, so if everybody wants to sign that up, it's a fantastic thing to get to know each other. The rock and roll event that Jenny is taking on is April 27th, so make sure you guys sign up. You're going to be selling tickets at lunch?
Yes.
Is that what I saw?
Yes.
Okay.
And you have only 2 weeks left to do that, and you'll be sorry if you don't come.
That's right. lots of great entertainment. May 5th is the Presbyterian Women's Birthday Offering. I am taking care of that. The theme will be Cinco de Mayo. If you're a woman of this church, and really men, if you want to come too, I don't mind it, but you'll be having to deal with all of us. But the theme is Cinco de Mayo. We're going to have a taco bar. We're going to have some live entertainment. Not really. We're going to have a mariachi band over the intercom. And we're going to play a couple little games or whatever. So if you guys want to, if you have not been invited to a table, please come see me. I want every woman in this church to be involved and be invited, at least if you want to host a table. I have a lot of tables now, but I would like to fill up the fellowship hall. Okay, so if you have more, if you want to host a table, come let me know. Movie night, the first movie night will start back up again on May 10th, so if you guys are interested, mark your calendar for that. And then the infamous camp-in that has been talked about will be June the 1st, okay? So we'll have flyers for that. That'll be coming out. So if you don't have a tent and you want to get a tent, don't go out and buy a crazy tent just for this event, but borrow somebody. So we're going to pitch some tents in the fellowship hall. We're going to have a little fake campfire. We're going to roast some marshmallows. We're going to have some games and some devotions and stuff like that. We'll serve hot dogs and hamburgers and do all kind of good stuff. So mark your calendars for those events. Okay?
Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome.
There's a lot, a list of good things, activity. Come on up, Sheila. And then one thing, too, after the first lunch, food today is a conversation about food and about the origins of the Cook's Community Garden. So that program will be especially inspiring, and we'll learn some good things about healthiness and how our church is involved in promoting health in this community.
So this is the last Sunday we'll be collecting for Blanket Sunday. There's two examples up there. In the pews, there are some
Thank you, Sheila. Are there any other announcements? I think that's going to be before the offering. But you know what? You want to do it now?
I'll do it now.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
I'm up front.
That's good.
Okay, so I'm here on behalf of the Finance and Planning Committee. I want to update everyone on our catch-up campaign. I think Bonnie and Amy spoke about this in previous weeks, that Cooks was $40,000 behind in annual giving. And so we announced a catch-up campaign. I'm happy to announce that we've received over $10,000 in contributions over the last 3 weeks. The campaign runs through Easter Sunday, so we're still $30,000 short of our goal. Cooks is really built on the foundation of all the families that worship with us and attend every week. It's also these families that help us through the transition period at Cooks and usher us into prosperity in the future. So if you would please prayerfully consider giving something extra, whatever you can, to our catch-up campaign, and help us be strong and prosper in the future. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott, and thank you all who have contributed already and are also about to contribute. Let us continue in our sense of worship as we responsively read the psalm as Riley leads us. She will go and start us in the verse of Psalm 131 on page 615.
My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. But I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore.
Thank you.
We come in confidence before the throne of God because God is quick to mercy and offer us forgiveness. But before we can receive forgiveness, we must commit ourselves to turn and to face God, to promise to turn around from that which has separated us and to unite our desire to be together again. So let us first turn and pray. Holy God, you offer us grace and compassion each day, yet we do not live out the good news of your love. We choose what is familiar and allow our faith to be timid. Transform our fears and free us from selfishness, we pray. God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting and pours into each of our lives as the waters of baptisms are also poured into our hearts. In this sense of renewal, in this sense of new beginning, in this sense of being cleansed from what has separated us from God, we give thanks to God and affirm our faith in him. Let us say together what we believe from the Confession of 1967. Wise and virtuous men and women through the ages have sought the highest good in devotion to freedom, justice, peace, truth, and beauty. Yet all human virtue, when seen in the light of God's love in Jesus Christ, is found to be infected by self-interest and hostility. All people, good and bad alike, are in the wrong before God and helpless without God's forgiveness. Thus, everyone falls under God's judgment. No one is more subject to that judgment than those who assume they are guiltless before God or morally superior to others. Especially in this Lent, when we remember how Jesus pours his heart out for us and gives us a peace beyond that of the world, we know that when we pass the peace, we embody and give the message of Jesus' love. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace. Dan, the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you very much. David, welcome. It's good to have you. Peace of Christ be with you. FB, the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Good morning. The scripture passage for today is from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, verses 16 through 21, which you'll find on page 719 of your pew Bible. And I'd like to, before we read the actual passage, read a short explanation, introduction. This passage from Isaiah comes from the Hebrews' experience of living through the exile in Babylonia, ousted from their homeland in Israel. It has the familiar echo of the people's slavery and release from captivity in Egypt. But knowing that history, the prophet proclaims, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old." The prophet aims to create an imaginative space in the minds of the people so that their memory of the past can transform their understanding of the present and thus of the future. In a seemingly hopeless situation, the prophet calls on the people not to lose heart, but to look with anticipation for the signs of God's approaching redemption. For the new thing that is coming is also rich with baptism is imagery. A journey through the wilderness will be hard, but the grace and the power of God prevailed in the past and will do so in the future. The past is, even now, repeating itself. "Do you not perceive it?" the prophet cries out, compelling the people to begin looking around them in hope. And I might add, this is just one of many similar situations in the scripture that going back to the beginning where God came through for Abraham, that when things seem hopeless for Abraham, he came through. And likewise, the birth of Christ is a sign of hope, that they kept looking for a sign of the Messiah. He wasn't what they expected in terms of an earthly Messiah, but a spiritual Messiah to redeem us from sin. And even today, we experience hopelessness in all kinds of ways, be it health, family, finances, politics, war, all kinds of situations. Yet somehow, Trollope Paris has a song with a good title, God is in Control. Let us listen now for the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the isles. Because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give strength to my people, my chosen, the people I have formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you.
Would the children and any younger youth please come forward? Yeah.
Graham has set this passage up beautifully because it is a gift that Mary gives to Jesus as we look to this reading from John 12, 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among them, reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray Jesus, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag. He used it to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, O Lord, may the words and meditations of all of our mouths and hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. The anointing of Jesus' feet with a perfume oil that was worth a year's wages. We have a profound story here and a knowledge of our being able to look back upon this story and know that the oil that Mary used for anointing could have been for two purposes. Oil is used in anointing at the coronation of a king. When a king is about to take the throne, the disciples, the people of the Roman rule, anywhere that someone is being coronated as king, they are anointed with the blessing of the priest. The other reason for an anointing is not a coronation for earthly kingship, but is for a burial. And Mary, whether she knew Jesus was about to be anointed as the king of Israel through his death, or if Mary had been listening to what Jesus was projecting, what he was prophesying about what would happen, Mary might have known that Jesus was indeed on his way to the cross. Either of those instances called forth for a gift of purification, a gift of great value, to be anointed as a coronated king or to be anointed for burial. Mary got it. This scene shows that Jesus will be a king, even though he's about to die. He will be leaving soon, and the disciples need to sense that he is leaving, but will also remain with them in mission. This idea of how the poor will always be with us comes from Deuteronomy, and I want to say more about that in another sermon someday. But the idea is not that the poor you will always have with you, but in Deuteronomy, that prophet and that writing from Moses says, "You shall keep the poor with you." Not that they will just be a presence around you in the community, but it is a commandment. You are to keep them with you. That idea of the poor being with us came particularly relevant to me yesterday. And it is something that this church has participated in supporting for many, many years and doing so very, very strongly and beautifully. Rebecca Barnes was one of the speakers at a Presbytery-wide gathering of Presbyterian women yesterday, and Rebecca Barnes is one of the directors of Children's Hope Alliance, and you know that as the Barium Springs Children's Home, and it merged in 2014 with actually all the children's homes across the country, across the state, and there are many, many children's homes across North Carolina now that are under the direction of Children's Hope Alliance. And Rebecca shared that in the children of North Carolina, there are 200,000 children in North Carolina that need to live in protective homes. And the Children's Hope Alliance is only able to service about half of those, but it does so in a very strong and beautiful way. A disturbing statistic that Rebecca shared was that 1 in 3 young women will be sexually abused at the age of 17. 1 in 4 young men in North Carolina will be abused by the age of 18. 1 in 3 of these vulnerable, desperate children will consider and attempt suicide. That's North Carolina. We are definitely able to see children and reach out to them in their moments of vulnerability and offer assistance and give support. I wonder what we are able to do in our adulthood, in the times that we ourselves are also vulnerable. Maybe not to the extent that we are considering suicide or experiencing abuse, but vulnerability is something that touches us all. Vulnerability is one of those pieces that takes the rug out from under us and leaves us wondering what we will do next. Vulnerability is one of those themes that one of our up-and-coming, she's not a theologian, she's a social worker, but Brené Brown has written a lot about what happens for adults when we get caught up in vulnerability and when we are nervous about our lives. And as one of her books, she wrote, Daring Greatly, How the Courage to Be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead. She writes, I was getting my PhD in social work, so my entire academic career was surrounded by people who kind of believed in the message, life's messy, but love it anyway. And she said, I'm more of the approach that life's messy, let's clean it up. Let's organize it and put it into a box. But she started and wanted to learn more about people that are struggling with the messiness in their lives. And she started with, how do we connect? What is our purpose and connection in relationships through our lives? And she says, by the time you're a social worker for 10 years, you realize that it is connection that is why we are here. It's what gives purpose and meaning to our lives. That's what it's all about. It doesn't matter whether you talk to people who work in social justice, mental health, and abuse and neglect, and I also believe in ministry. What we know is that connection, the ability to feel connected, is neurobiologically how we are wired. It's why we're here. Connection. Connection is what Jesus was about on that day that he ate a meal in the home of Mary and Martha. Connection is what he wanted to feel again as he walked into this week, this really next week of moving toward the cross and understanding what it meant for his life and how he would offer his life for the connection and the reconnection for the gifts of the world. And the variable that separates us, says Brené Brown, is that we are a separated people when we don't feel that we belong. And it is the people that feel like they have a sense of belonging that can overcome their vulnerability. And she says, the people that really feel that they belong feel they are worthy of belonging. Now, I know you've heard me preach repeatedly about how none of us are worthy because of what we do. And that's true. We're not worthy because of our actions. We're worthy because of God's love. God's love is more powerful than our ability to work for ourselves and work ourselves into holiness. God's power is what makes us whole, what reunites us through the waters of baptism and the sense of care that God issues to us. We are a courageous people when we believe we are worthy. And courage is a word that comes from the origin of the Latin word cor, which means heart. In the connection of our lives, and we feel whole and connected, we are God's children. We can't numb feelings of worried about how vulnerable we are. We need only to know that we are vulnerable and made whole through the power of God's love. One of the things that we need to think about is not the power that we gain because of what we do, but the power we gain because of whose we are. Jesus was able to feel vulnerable in going to the cross because he knew that he was God's son. And Mary, in that time when she sat at the table with Jesus, amongst those like Judas, who had the power of the rule and the leadership, who held the power of the purse and could have whatever material things he wanted, Mary did not have any fear about objecting to that power. Mary was not worried about being vulnerable at the feet of Jesus because she knew his love was stronger than that of Judas, than that of Caiaphas, than that of all the chief priests and Pilate and of Herod. Our vulnerability makes us whole when we realize we have the courage and the worthiness of being God's children. We are loved at the heart of who God is and what God wants us to know. Amen.
Ain't no give like the present tense. Ain't no love like old romance. Gotta make hay while the sun is shining. Can't waste time when it comes time to dance. Slamming this door with a heavy hand. Singing this line like a day to the land. Keeping in touch with the windows down, dreading this night since the rain hit the ground. Long live the heart, long live the soul that knows what it wants. That peace you can find, that part is a whole, it never lets go. Oh. Dying, wishing well, oh well. live the heart, long live the soul that knows what it wants. That peace you can find, that part is the whole, that never lets go. Gotta make hay when the sun is shining, can't waste time when it comes time to dance. Keep in touch with the windows down, dreading this nice as the rain hits the ground. And long live the heart, long live the soul that knows what it wants. That peace you can find, that part is the whole, that never lets go. Oh, oh, oh. Long live the heart, long live the soul that knows what it wants. No matter how far, how heavy this load, it never lets go.
When I heard that refrain, long live the heart, long live the soul that know what it wants, it felt like the perfect connection to that sense of who we are as God's children. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. I know that we come to this time and realize we have prayers of joy and prayers of concern that we bring before this body, and we unite our hearts and minds around those concerns, and I invite you to share them with me now and with each other. I see a hand. Yes, FD.
Most of you remember Mike and Becky Cerio. Their daughter Sam, one that does the acrobatics. She liked Friday night and Saturday night, and that would have been her end of her career for college. She failed Saturday night, broke one leg, and sort of destroyed the other leg's knee. She's in double cast now, and they don't know what they're going to have to do for the knee.
A friend, apparently some of you know, Sam fell and almost at the end of her education, and is very, very badly wounded with a broken leg and a torn up knee. So we will pray for Sam and her decision making and recovery. Other concerns or joys that people have? Please, yes, Lindsay, Sydney. Thank you, Sydney, and welcome, Neil. Happy birthday. That is a treat. Wonderful. Other celebrations? Concerns? I'll speak now to, there was a set of photographs on the back in the narthex that you might have seen when you came in, and as we go to lunch, we're going to move them to Fellowship Hall. They are photographs from when Cook's Memorial hosted the meeting of the Presbytery of Charlotte in, I believe, 2013. So you might recognize some of those people. That was from 16 years ago. I don't know. 2013 was only 6 years ago, but I thought it was earlier than that. Whenever the presbytery came here the last time, those pictures will be moved to the Fellowship Hall, and you can see some of your friends and recognize yourselves. And it's a big celebration. So if Charlie McCrary calls you for help for May the 21st, when the presbytery will come here, please say yes. as have a number of people already, because we have a beautifully, newly, refreshing paint job on Fellowship Hall, thanks to all the people a week ago that worked on that and the grounds that look so beautiful. Thank you for your commitments to labor and hope a little bit of fun, too. Yes, Joe has something to share, a very important announcement.
I wanted to give you an update on the PNC. I want everyone to know that things are going very well. We have a rock-solid group that's taking this on. We are live, so to speak, and we have started reviewing candidates. And I've been very impressed with this group in regards to not only the thoroughness but efficiency. And I just wanted to update the congregation. I know there's probably a lot of wondering where we're at or how we're doing, and I just want you all to know it's going very well. Per the presbytery, as chair, I am your liaison as well, so if you do have a question or concern, please don't hesitate to let me know. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. And all the names of the PNC members are listed in your bulletin, so if they can't answer your question, Joe will. So please keep them in your prayers. I know we are aware of God's presence throughout this time, and I want us to turn in prayer now. As we stand on the gift of this day, O God, as we are over halfway through this period of Lenten preparation for understanding as fully as humanly possible that you have come to show us how to live. You have come to embrace the vulnerable, and you have come to help us know that even in our vulnerability, we are your worthy loved ones. Remind us, O God, of not only that we are able to accomplish great things together, but we are able to do even more as a church together. We know that this whole body sighed when they heard that Sam had fallen and wounded herself very seriously. And for all the friends and all the people and all the doctors and all the family members who will surround this young woman in her recovery, we ask for your direction and your amazing healing touch. And we know, O God, that as we remember others in our congregation that are recovering from surgeries and illnesses and treatments, that you have been working through us, providing meals, providing cards, providing visits, providing care in a way that everyone knows they are supported and loved through this challenging time and on into days that are more redeemed and more refreshing in life. We ask your presence with this body as it particularly looks and continues to find the pastor that is the one whom you have already tapped that will be the installed pastor of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. As that pastor prepares to come and to answer questions from the PNC and to find that the fit is made and that we can proceed, we will be rejoicing. But through these days of interviews and reviewing resumes and all the process, guide each of the members of the PNC's hearts and help them to know they are supported by the prayers of this full body. Unite with us around lunch and fellowship as we enjoy a first Sunday lunch today and as we participate fully in the many activities that are being supplied and publicized for joy and excitement for the 2-3 weeks from now as we gather around the rock and roll excitement and as we gather to pitch tents together and tell stories late at night and all the opportunities we have for fellowship and the times we have to support one another in mission, might we be hand in hand, foot by foot, and heart and mind together. Guide us and remind us that we are yours and that we pray together in the blessed name of your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So let us receive our tithes and offerings as we continue in our worship. Yeah, we did the stewardship. That happened. Scott Jones did that.
Oh, that was different.
Yeah, it was handled. The ushers are going to come forward to receive the offering. Loving God, remind us that your gift of the resurrection is a call for us to be cultivators of generosity and powers of justice. Redeemer God, who takes the side of the poor and disinherited, remind us of your call for us to do so as well. Amen. And now the work of worship begins. Go out into the world in peace. Know that you are cleansed of your sins and free to share the love of Jesus Christ with all that you meet. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of this Holy Spirit abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.